This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
Morning, friends in Zoom land. Can you hear us all right?
Good morning.
So usually we would start, as is the with an old koan, an old story, but it is New Year's Eve day, so we're going to start with a different kind of interactive. Hope you like it. So, see this? Online. How many people, please use your hand, how many people see a rabbit? Raise your hand, rabbit people. How many people see a duck? Duck people, woohoo! How many see a rabbit duck? Right. Ah, you did it. So this illusion is called an ambiguous image. It is used to distinguish perception from interpretation. If you saw a rabbit, you would say, I see a rabbit. A duck, you would say, I see a duck. And if you saw reality, both, you would say, oh, now I see rabbit duck. This at the same time. And that would be, at least for the philosopher, perceptual report. I am bringing you today rabbit duck. We bring you rabbit duck because it's New Year's Eve. And all of us are doing a lot of perceptual dancing. Last day, backwards, projecting way forward, and moving in and out of an awareness and understanding of reporting this last year and our future ourselves. And in doing that, we are considering.
Yeah, it's interesting. Is it a rabbit? Is it a duck? What does that say? Let's say about how we see the world. Make sense of things, how we live a meaningful life. There's an old Zen story where it's arguing about a flag. One is saying, the flag is moving. And then the other one says,
wind is moving.
No, it's a rabbit.
Oh, it's a duck.
Wind moves and the flag moves. Finally, their teacher comes around and says, it's not wind moving, it's not flag moving, it's mind moving.
Last it was Christmas Eve day, and he spoke about the poignancy time of year. Christmas Eve, many together with their families, and whether we are gathering with friends, we notice it's missing. And remember those who we love.
It's something I, probably all of you around this time of year, whether it's taking stock, or committing ourselves in a certain way of moving forward, we also look and we see who's not with us. I ran across a quote the other day that said, you only own forever that which is lost. And I kind of sat with that for a while because It's only something is really gone. Is it no longer changing? That is no longer doing that perceptual dance with us. Because now it just resides within us. Changing. But isn't that also kind of completely wrong and upside down? Doesn't it still change? When we look back on even those tender moments from the last year, sure how you experienced them at the time, now from this cushion, this vantage point, this high peak, look back and this is different, isn't it? It's different. So we have all these tender moments. I think the year end and certainly the holidays, I don't know what it is, long dark nights or something. It's a lot of tender moments. And we can see how, looking back like this and taking stock, we can see how our perception all piled up. The other thing I think we can see is how fleeting life is. Sounds really hard and heavy. It's actually also really freeing and liberating too, isn't it? As the old quote goes, your body is like a drop of dew, a blade of grass. Your life is like a flash of lightning. Your body will disappear soon, your life lost in an instant.
And these parts when you talk
when all dharmas are the Buddha Dharma, there is illusion, enlightenment. There is practice, there is birth and death. There are ordinary beings, there are Buddhas. When these myriad dharmas are without self, there is no illusion, no enlightenment, no generation, no extinction. No ordinary being and no Buddha, because the Buddha way is unconstrained by dualities, such as fullness or loss. It can be available as both illusion and enlightenment, as both generation and extinction, as both ordinary being and even with recognizing this, we still begrudge the fading of a flower, and we still are dismayed by the flourishing of.
New Year's Eve does not disappoint. Every year we stop for a little while, stop our moving, chasing, firing, just long enough to enter into this counting game, measuring the little last bits and pieces. This our being. New Year's Eve, we take a look at the rearview mirror. We look forward through the front windshield. What is we doing? The ASO. Looking back. And we reflect. Maybe we wonder. Maybe we have some regret. Maybe we have some fantasies. New year, new and improved. For those of you who are doing service following a potluck, we're actually going to ritualize some of them. One is a fire ceremony, right down. Release. Whatever, your mileage may vary with them. Put it in the fire. Then we're also going to decorate some, weather permitting. Let our wishes for the new year float out. That's a little looking back.
Maybe not too far forward, maybe just to this evening. It's a great sign, it's kind of distance. The further a thing away is in sign language, the more we have to squint. But for me, maybe it feels like midnight is just so far away. But that's a really fun sign. I can teach you another sign.
Okay, I'm ready.
Ready?
I'm ready.
Can you tell how much of this we're riffing? But we can look forward, right? But in ASL, because we have two hands, we can have two verbs going at once, which is a trick. Okay, so you can kind of look forward, and you can look backwards.
Everyone, let's do it together.
You can see, you can also see back. It's a certain kind of a weird sign, isn't it? To kind of be able to see in all the way. It's a rabbit and it's a duck. looking forward and looking backward, it's as if you are standing on now. It's how sign language works. It's like we're standing on this present moment, and all the future signs are kind of tripping forward. The sign for future or the sign for going, you know, like that way, right? And then all the past signs, like a long time ago, galaxy far, far away, all those signs. So that places me where? I like that. I like the Zen and the art of ASL. Maybe I should write. But that is not true for everyone. In some cultures, spend a lot of time in South America. In some cultures, like the Aymara, past is in front of them, future is behind them, their language. Yeah? Because the past is what I can see it clearly. So it must be in front of me. The future, which I can never see, must be somewhere behind me. So I went from feeling myself tripping forward through time to falling backward. Very interesting. But we can use ASL, language, or Zazen, art, music, literature. These things that can inspire us to move through time like this in a skillful way. And so ASL says we can go in both directions. That's just playing with our perception. And I was thinking, easier to say than to actually stay. This crest of this moment. What would it be like? How could I see forward and backward at the same time? Dogen talks all about this. And it's available to all of us. And it's as simple as what we already know. This body, I'm always, us, but now, I'm always holding up. How can we have these miraculous powers? This body. As Dogen said, each moment is all being. Each moment is the entire world. Reflect now whether any being or any world is left out. Does it? Dogen is reminding us that each moment, when it is the present moment, is only that, the present moment. And because it's only that and completely the present moment, such includes past and everything else.
Liberation. Permanence is one of the three moments. They're characteristics of our existence. Permanence in Pali, it's called. There's also two other marks. Dukkha, so many, that word, often translated this. And also without a permanent self, lack of permanent self. We humans tend to be in delusion about these three marks, and this delusion results, as some of you know, one of the four truths that taught. That removal of this ignorance are seeds of dissatisfaction.
Yet an attachment blossoms, and aversion leads breath.
So at New Year's Eve, we spend some time reflecting upon, put out some hopes. All the while we see is reality far. And we can use this awareness of Cambodia for the Buddha taught that every conditioned aspect of life is moving through our eyes, ears, nose, body, mind, even chronic pain also comes and goes like everything else. Love, too. Words of Katie, love is always on the move. By day it changes. Always recognize.
Reminds me of that simile that Gogan talked about being on a boat and rowing along the shore. He said, if we're sailing along and we look back from the boat and we're looking at the shoreline, to us, it seems like the shore is moving along. Maybe going this way. Maybe I'm in an Aimara boat sailing back. But so it looks like the shore is moving to us, right? But we know that's not right. So we can stop and we can think about it and we can say, this is what the situation is. I understand, hey, it's the boat. And so he goes on and he actually warns us about, don't stack up all these multi-perceptions. Don't use that to affirm or deny your existence. How do we do that? Specifically, he says it would be erroneous to view the self as fixed and unchanged. And that if we practice having the correct view, continuously kind of reapplying that correct view, just stay with it. Stay with it and practice it. We can just simply keep returning to ourselves, aligning ourselves with this, deeply examining our lives, ourselves. Take it out of the realm of theory, put it into practice. How do we do that?
Helps to recognize that you're not. Anybody missing? Raise your hand. It helps if you understand that life is moving through you. Recognize that you're. Relax. Ride. And I want to go on record as saying I'm not suggesting that agency passive or irresponsible. Of course, this practice is all about understanding the whole big. So you must endeavor to make wholesome choices.
Yeah, just thinking about we were talking, we all have this kind of dukkha, life is suffering. Sign up for a weekend that, and it sounds great. It's not quite what was said. Life is disease. You know, life is going to be full of disappointment. And we look back on our year and it had its highs and it had its lows. That's what life is. If we accept that, it gets easier. So the actual word for dukkha is the root of that actually comes from the cart, the wheel. And it's like the axle and the wheel ill-fitting, they don't work well together. That's really what that word dukkha, the root of it is. So I just pictured myself riding backwards in a cart, bumping along. And this is just what it is to be moving along. But beyond that, what are we talking about when we're talking about suffering? One of my working definitions is just that kind of the resistance to what's actually going on. That's a good working definition. Suffering. So I've been practicing with a lot lately, this more of a concept of suffering is just a lack of intimacy. Lack of intimacy. So when we aren't intimate with something, it's suffering. There's a gap. Whatever fills that gap tends to be suffering. The space between me and you, self and my experience, whatever it is. So how can we be more intimate? How can we close that gap? How does Dogen encourage us to be more connected with our lives? How can we have a correct understanding and a practice? He says it has a lot to do with understanding of time, our existence. That can lead us to greater awareness. That can lead us to.
How can we talk about something? Grab it. Kind of. Dogen's engine, classical self protection, very beloved and talks about time. Fuji, by the way, as being and existence. Dogen writes, do not think that time merely flies away. Do not see flying away as the only function. Time merely flies away, you would be separate. The reason you do not clearly understand time being that you is that you think most of us consider I was born here, lived here, had these friends, this education, family, this partner, and then this happened. Little ticks on the line of life, and then this, and then this, and then this, and then this, and then you drove up Skyline today, and then this. It's as if we're all acting driving our little car called time up the hill, of our lives. And we think that a lot of the time, that we're actually in charge, that we're driving that car, Alpine. And I think maybe they're going to talk about this differently. He writes this.
He says, we ourselves study the principle that everything in the world is time. Each instant covers the entire world. If we can comprehend this, it will be the beginning of practice and enlightenment. When we attain this level, we have a clear understanding of the significance of each and every practice. One blade of grass, every single object, every living thing, is inseparable from time. Time includes every being and in all worlds.
How is it that one blade of grass is? How is it that our time? I like to think of time itself as time. Time is a we interact, we acknowledge that we're already in a relationship with it. We can let this time be toward us. Think of time as I see others, also as an experience of this. Finally, those beings, self included, just being time together. Time not separate. And our present sounds a little bit like one of these weird. Right? Clip that I saw Chuck make. Other way. And I want to tell you that Dogen wrote this fascicle on Uji. First day of winter, 1240. I like to imagine. Back. Or Dogen Zenji is. How could he not be? He's taking in way, 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 way zoomed out. He's looking at way. He's teaching us to see impermanence, that everything is always in movement, all the time, changing. Time equals change. We are. Think of your own body if you want to bring it right back to this. Right. You know that every atom in your body has been that day. Let me break it to you gently. With age, all of you, you are certainly not separate. Maybe, or from your ancestors, or from the very first hominid, everything that ever existed. This. The only thing you can say about you, us, and everything is that you are this right now, whatever this is. And in fact, this, you know. Went by, but this went by again. This being is the only thing. Everything else, say, it's not non-existence, but how are you sure your story about your own life, history? How sure are you that you know what's happening right now? Can you allow that the person's hearing our words? This experience, how this information. All those things, not just you. You can't actually think wrong. You're right for that. Raise hand, raise your hand. He might.
Oh. But yeah, how do we know? How do we know our story? We put so much stock and faith in and constantly propping up, holding the mask on. How do we know it's even right? Spend a lot of energy and time propping it up. How do we know? How do we know any of this is? So as Dogen said, he said, do not think you'll necessarily be aware of your own. That's a funny kind of quote, isn't it? Because I came here to let go of things and to drop everything and to become this whole new person. 2024, it's going to be my year. This is the energy. And I think you'll necessarily be aware of it. You know? How do you know? And further, he warns us that it's probably not going to be the experience we think. Pretty refreshing. Okay with that, heading into 2020.
So let's zoom in. We've been way, way, way out with those. And we all agree that we have a lot in common, no matter where we come from, how we speak, no matter anything, what we look like, regardless of our causes and conditions we see. But if you were to make a list about the things we have in common, we're humans, and we can then maybe compare us to, and we still say there's a lot in common with Tevye. Mammals like a lot of the same things. The list is a little different. I don't generally when I'm on. Sometimes. And then we can go out a little farther. How would it be if we list of us crap? What about Dogen? What do we have in common? Now we're getting pushed pretty far in our ability to relate. And looking for connections between us, me and you, and a blade of grass, like a stretch, but a rock. There is one thing that's fine. One thing that's in common with everything. Time. Change. Time.
Receive each particular thing in this universe at the moment of time. Get away from thingness. Receive each particular thing universe as a moment of buildings. One of my brothers is also Buddhist. His teacher says things like, there's no chair, just chairing. Stop thinking about this static, forever kind of objects and forever kind of people. No ocean, it's oceaning. There's no chairing. It's this manifestation. That moment, not out. So getting away from that fixivity and thinness, as Heidegger would say, the world worlds. chair, just chair. Just say, like, it's as if this teacup is rolling forward, you know, constantly rolling forward over and over itself, constantly present as a new object, and it's new and completely distinct, yet entirely the same as your mind. It's a new object, reborn in each moment, but also contained. And that's why sometimes people who come here, sit sesshin, or sit, maybe meditate for a week, and they go home, but they report everything feels so shiny and new. Greener and the leaves seem leafer. No, what's going on? Teacup is just home of my moment. Shiny and new. Just how it is. Maybe that's just what enlightenment is. Just being with things as they are. Things do not hinder things, just as moments do. So the Zendo is here, and my little teacher, I'm saying it as a it can't be both here in the same place at the same time. Breakfast ocean is different than the New Year's Eve ocean. It's different than the pop. So what's real?
So what's real? Now. On. Now. That's it, folks. Just now. Best time. Being. Expressing. Dress. Maybe you can ask yourself right now. Feel for this moment. Right now. Anything actually lacking? How could it be? We can taste it. This flavor of everything. Always full. Always enough. Even when it's whatever you are, whatever you
are. Dogen writes, the way the self arrays itself is the form of the intellect. See each thing, this entire world, as a moment.
These things do not hinder. These moments do not hinder. You do not get in the way of it. Wave sinking mind rises in this moment. Not in that moment or that moment, in this moment. Way seeking this mind. Same with practice. Thus, the self setting out in a way. This is the understanding. Self is.
It's like Kazuaki Tanahashi said that. Self, selfing the self.
Very charity. The Zen teacher Norman Fisher interprets this to me. What do we mean by me? What do we mean by myself? Ultimately, if we contemplate this far enough, myself, my body, my position in space, all that is involved with it is. All whole world of location, each and every place. So, she says, if you really think about it, what is me? What is myself? Where do I end? That's where you end up realizing that self All inclusive. Each and every place. Being as it is. So the self is actually all spaces. Time is like consuming us and excreting us. How sure can you be that you know what happened in the childhood or in your parents' childhood? I'm not purporting to say that yesterday didn't happen, yesterday happened, or anything like negating any moment. Just that yesterday's time is actually already included in experience. Now, this present, it may look like time is passing, like you mark things on the timeline. Where could time go? Past is contained in its present, just as you are still carrying actual flow of time is what we are. That's it. Dogen teaches us that the only thing we have is this time. This moment-to-moment flow moving through us, moving through everything, rock and grasses to the ground. Dogen wants us to see that if and when we try to force time, oh, that we're driving the car, even with our sense of believing in viable, and our efforts to control the narrative we tell ourselves about our lives and our parents' lives and those other people's lives, all of that limits us. It diminishes us, diminishes our existence. It takes us away from this here. We choose to be distracted a lot of the time. Here, our old stories, that's like grudges, fantasies, all the other little bits pieces of the baggage that we carry around and all.
Because it's the open hand that things.
It's practice that we have of sitting down, calm the mind, weight of these selves that we're carrying, generation, stories, the regrets, the grudges, the fantasies. And sitting down, practice gives us a chance to see voice. We can experience the only thing that exists. That is the fullness of this moment. This moment. Dogen knows, as do all of us, we don't have to do this schlepping around with old stuff. We have a choice.
This is now.
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 And that choice is our choosing them.
Dogen writes, things do not hinder one another, just as moments do not hinder one another. He's saying, it's actually, we live as if things hinder one another, especially when we compare ourselves to other people. That's an obvious example. We sense scarcity of nothingness, love. So many of us stand up. Notice me. Look at me. Notice me. But in reality, all things, everything, being time. And none of it hinders one another. Not. Time moves freely, everything out. It doesn't seem to be a problem for time that 2023 is ending or is beginning, right? Yesterday doesn't seem to get mixed up with today or tomorrow. And if Dogen were here, I guess he'd be saying, of course, yesterday is here. That's why it doesn't get mixed up. It's already included right now in this. He would have to exercise great patience with us, although I like to imagine him rolling his eyes, because he just told us that time flows freely without any hindrance, moves through us. So when we walked around the Zendo, walking meditation, we focus our attention on each step, each little part of each breath of each step, and we experience the arising or out of everything flowing together, completely present, each little tiny moment, little tiny moment, each little tiny. Be that experience completely in this fullness of this moment feels like love. So you might be able to say, big leap, folks. Love. Love arises. Our effort in this practice, joy in noticing each full human lives, whether we categorize it in any shape, joy, or both, duck and rabbit, this awareness arises and functions. One, everything. So, you have a choice to make. This to be with whatever arrives.
Fuji says, for the time being, stand on top of the highest. For the time being, proceed along the bottom of the deepest ocean. For the time being, three heads and eight arms. Time being, 8 or 16 foot. For the time being, staff or whisk. For the time being, a pillar of rock. For the time being, the sons of Jean. For the time being, the earth.
When we speak of fluidity, our own being, to me, this has become this teaching, passion. We're able, willing, see big R reality as. See what's happening just now with these fresh eyes, as if it's the first time we've ever looked deeply eyes. We notice that we ourselves are the vehicle. With that kind of seeing, that kind of seeing, deep, tender, for the one who thinks she has to cling to a limited version of herself. My story goes, the way I was told I'm supposed to be. And we have compassion for ourselves like this, spread out everybody.
Hogan continues, he says, life is, for example, like sailing in a boat. Although we set sail, steer our course, hold the rope. Boat carries us. We do not exist apart from the boat. By sailing in the boat, we make the boat what it is. Make life what it is. Life makes me what I am. Riding the boat, one's body and mind, self world together, the dynamic function of it. Higher earth, all empty sky. In company with the boat's vigorous exertion. Such is the I that is life, the life that is I.
On the drive up here, 101, I was behind one of those USPS kind of bread loaf shaped trucks, white trucks, little delivery truck, and it had mud going all the way up the side of it. This little engine had to go out on rough roads and really covered with mud. And there were these dirt clods flying out from underneath it. And some of these little clods are pinging mud. And I noticed the mud clods kind of followed them back, and I noticed some mud puds falling from the back of the truck, and they were falling out, breaking into a little baby clods were being born right in front of my eyes. And like a little constellation, baby dirt clods running away like little particle children, off into healing. God. So as we say goodbye, 2023, say goodbye. Leslie. Victims and wars in Russia, Israel and Gaza, all the places. Say goodbye to the little dirt plot. Please, if you want to say goodbye to someone. Know that we are on a question. Something that is both loss, life, death, and birth. It is birthing, deathing, lossing, sharing, having death. Our loved ones are in us. There is. All of us bumping around in this life, sometimes a clod, particle, sometimes moving and touching each other, seeing each other, noticing someone who happens to be noticing just then. Here that we are live, ready to greet this moment. You are that clod, changing from moment to moment, then going off who knows where, always part something.
The time being stand on top of the highest peak. Time being proceed along the bottom of the deepest ocean. For the time being, three heads and eight arms. For the time being, an 8 or 16 foot. For the time being, a staff or a fist. For the time being, a pillar. For the time being, the sons of Shan.
Night. New Year's Eve, as you consider letting go of those items that you want to add. Pieces of you add to the fire. Please see this letting go. Has to have a letting in. An acceptance of this entirety. But that which is moving through you and everything else right now, every single moment. You can say goodbye. Say hello. Say welcome to what that goodbye hello. We embrace by hello. Yeah. We empower ourselves. What to do in this moment, this brand new moment, how to do the best you can. It's grieving of this. Life is goodbye and hello, not separate, all wrapped up together. Each and every one of us is a you are. All of us here feel we're suffering the slings and arrows and heartaches, and the clods and the particles, the wild and its beautiful message. Total, unbelievable, inconceivable miracle. Here right now. Think about how in awe first hominids would be if they could zoom in, sit in this room with us, and say, "Hey, you're my family." Every day is that. Let's use whatever our time of life. Love one another. Let love, its recognition, sense, our expression. Was a very insistent bell from the cook, but even so, last day of the year, passes. So, my friends online, if you have any ask, please do. And any, but the tradition, our practice is to be economical with your words, especially since we have socks and Kenzo. So let's be efficient. If you have a question, please. So, question? Brave if you have one. Or a complaint. I'm hungry.
Us out there. Who he is.
Humble. He's a 13th century monk who lived in Japan. He originally was a Tendai monk. Out seeking. Went from Japan into China and became a Zen monk. And brought Zen from China to Japan, began the Soto Zen tradition. We are practicing.
His life was marked in the early years. Loss.
That loss, coupled with hearing a sutra being chanted, what opened the way for him. It's a hello and a goodbye.
Wait a minute, wait, sorry.
The one on.
There's Peter.
I'm from David Bullen. Oh, thank you, wonderful teacher. Something about this time, two heads, and then the message went away with impermanence. Something about a Buddha body with two heads, maybe.
Yeah, that's us, right?
Pretty gruesome.
Yeah, scary. Watch out for us. Anybody online have a question? I don't want to short shrift you. You're really right here with us. Hi, everybody.
Two heads are one.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jikoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jikoji, please visit us on the web at jikoji.org.